Hi, GWA listeners. It's Wicked Fairy here, and this is my first AMA. Oh, you'll have to excuse me, it's early morning. It's the beginning of my weekend, and I'm a little sleepy. I thought I'd do this from my bed. This whole past, 7 weeks? I don't even know. It's been a bit of a blur. But I, excuse me. Oh dear. I posted the AMA response form 10 days ago, and to celebrate 500 followers, and somehow in the most recent sort of since then, about 400 more of you have followed me, which just blows my mind. I don't quite understand it, but I appreciate it. Please know I appreciate it so very much, you following, and I appreciate all your comments and your messages and your continued support of what I'm putting out there. I guess a couple of things with the AMA. Some of the questions I received were, most of them were fantastic, just really, interesting. And there were, however, some that I'm not going to answer. I like to maintain some sort of anonymity. It's important to me that when you listen to what I'm sharing and what I record, that I am primarily a blank slate for you, and I can be whoever you want me to be. Ultimately, it's when you listen to my audio, it's just me. It's 100% me. Even in the scripts that I choose are ones that I honestly enjoy and that I would want to enact in some way. So, yeah, it's genuine, it's authentic, and I thoroughly enjoy doing it. So, having said all of that, let's get into this. Okay. Where is my list? Also, I tend to ramble a little bit. So bear with me. Hopefully you're patient. Okay, so first question that I received on my my Reddit page: is there a particular type of scene or script that you prefer? For example, you've only recently started publishing femdom audios, and that is from the lovely Brummy Dwarf. Thank you, Brummy. I seem to be leaning towards femdom, gentle femdom, and mummy dom is a new exploration for me that I don't know, it seems to work for me. I thoroughly enjoy it. It's what I would want to do. Those particular genres really speak to me. Is there a particular scene or script? I think I seem to be taken with more so the mummy dom at the moment, and the more nurturing and caring side of interactions with, whether it be a younger or an older listener. It's irrelevant to me. In my mind, it's a listener and another person who I genuinely want to love on and care for and, yeah, guide, direct, all of those things. So, yeah, hopefully that answers your question, Brummy. Thank you. What is your favourite time of year? Winter. I'm a winter baby. You all know that I live in Australia and I live in a fairly temperate climate on the east coast of Australia, and it's for me it's perfect. I'd like it a little bit colder. Our winters, they seem to be getting warmer. I love layering up in coats, but that's not really where I live. It doesn't really call for that, unfortunately. We have to go a little bit further south. But yeah, favourite time of year is winter. Okay. Next set of questions actually is from OK Engineer. Okay. What made you decide that you would make GWA content? Initially, I was a listener. I think we all VAs probably, and a VA is a voice artist or voice actor. Most of us who record seem to have been listeners of some description prior to recording and posting. I only discovered erotic audio 9-10 months ago now, and my world opened up. I had no clue about it, and I felt kind of, when talking with friends, I was just like, how come nobody told me? Just like, what the hell, people? I was a very avid listener to the point where I had two sets of earbuds that I was rotating, so using a set while another set was charging. And I fell down this beautiful rabbit hole of erotic audio about really only after, sort of February. I mean, some of you who are new to my page or my Reddit page may not know, but I only started recording in the middle of February. I had initially planned to write scripts and post those, but then I thought, well, maybe somebody might enjoy my voice. I'm not a fan of it myself. I find it very difficult to listen to myself, and editing really isn't an option for me. But I think there's the raw quality of what I put out there seems to appeal to a lot of listeners, and the fact that it's real and unedited and it's 100% me, I think, really appeals. It's not a performance. It's not acted. It genuinely is me. That probably answers the first two questions from OK Engineer. What gets you in the mood to record? Listening to other audios. I seem to record better sort of early evening, sort of middle of the evening, when I'm relaxed and, my day's come to an end. I will usually pop my earbuds in and listen or look. Like, there's a couple of other subreddits that I enjoy scrolling through and looking at content. So I like to get, a little inspired before I record. Engineer's next question. Any trigger words that really get you excited to hear or perform a script? Yes, I do have certain trigger words. I won't reveal all of them, but yeah, I think it's no surprise that I enjoy the word daddy. I enjoy that. If that's a kink, then so be it. Not in not in an incest way. However, not in a little girl sense, if that makes sense. But more as an authoritative sort of term. Yeah, that word daddy does things to me. I enjoy saying it in audios, and I particularly enjoy hearing it from a VA or in an audio. Another word, clearly, if you've listened to my audios, you know I like the word baby. It does something. Oh, it makes me want to squirm right now. It does something to me. I don't know why, but it does. And also the validation of the word good girl. I really do enjoy that. So there's three for you. Engineer's next question. Have the neighbours ever called the police to report primal screaming from your house? No. However, I'm sure the local wildlife have wondered what the hell's going on inside the house. No police have been called. And finally, from Engineer, red or white? In terms of wine, white. In terms of colour, red. Okay, moving on. This is the 11th. You have a number of questions. Fantastic, actually. So your first round, where or how do you usually get the ideas for your audios? Do you follow any formal creative process? Creative process, no, not really. When I do my own audios, and like if I'm not doing a script, it's primarily improvised. Sometimes I'll write down, you know, a few notes, keywords, particularly with the Dirty Little Confessions. I actually have another one of those to record, and I'm about four. I don't follow anything formally. It's really just improvise most of the time, other than, you know, a few sort of keywords or notes that I'll jot down. The ideas, where do they come from my audios? Experiences I've had, or experiences I would like to have had or have. They're my fantasies. Yeah, some of them may have been inspired by actual events. And that sort of follows on from before recording. Do you write a complete script or write an outline of the main things or improv everything? I think I've pretty much covered that. Which is your favourite audio of your own and why? I think currently my favourite one is My Hard Come. That was one of those times where I just hit the record button. I have listened back to that one, actually. That's one of the very few ones I have listened to myself. And yeah, that's that particular one. I clearly thoroughly enjoyed it. It was a ramble fap, obviously, and it made me laugh. It was a truly cathartic experience. And yeah, I'm happy that I recorded it and was able to share it with you all. What is one thing the people commenting on your post don't understand or appreciate enough? Now, I wrote down notes for some of these because I really wanted to give them some good thought. And bear with me a second just while I find what they understand or appreciate. I I guess, yeah, no, it's not, I guess, which is, I guess what listeners may not understand or appreciate is how truly grateful I am for you listening, for you commenting, for you engaging with me. That really, it touches me in a way that, yeah, I didn't anticipate or expect getting into this audio space. Yeah, that's been really particularly special and very much appreciated. Next question from, this is the 11th. Do you get emotional or flustered or horny when preparing or performing audios? Yes, yes, and yes. to all three. Sometimes I need to have a bit of a rest afterwards, maybe a little bit of a nap if I'm able to. Yeah, it does have a physical impact on me. So yes, I do. And I've answered your next question, what made me decide on posting or to start posting on GWA? What do you think is the reason for your quick success? Did you expect or imagine it when you decided to start posting? No, not at all. It has completely blown my mind that in this short period of time that this many people would choose to listen, let alone follow what I do. I had no clue. I got excited when I had, I think, maybe 20 listens on my very first post, Happy Valentine's Day to me. I didn't. Next question, what do you think is the reason for your quick success? Did you expect or imagine it when you decided to start posting? I'd hazard a guess that part of it is there aren't many Australian female VAs in this space. There's a handful that I am aware of, but really where there's not many of us. I get so many comments saying, I love your accent. Wow. Thank you. I need to learn to say or accept and say thank you. I have to put it down to that. The other thing I would think is that, and I get a lot of comments about, is just the fact that it is raw. It is 100% me and it's unedited and that it's one take. I think that seems to come across from the responses I get. Next question from the 11th. When you reflect on your journey to 500 followers, what specific thing makes you most proud of yourself? For me, it is coming to believe that people enjoy listening to my voice and what I'm sharing. That's difficult. That's been difficult for me to comprehend. So I'm thinking, yes, I'm embracing it. I'm accepting it. And I very much appreciate it. And next question from the 11th. If you could go back in time and start over as a performer, would you do anything different? I'd probably believe in myself a bit more. I'd probably have a little bit more confidence. I'd learn how to post properly before posting. Oh, poor mods of GWA and the other Reddit pages I post on. Yeah, sorry. I've had a few audios removed, particularly at the beginning because I hadn't read posting rules properly, and yeah, I found it a little frustrating. I probably jumped in too early, but if I was going to start over as a performer, read the goddamn rules. Okay, what plans do you have to grow and or monetize your audience additionally to vanilla.com, for example, a subreddit, Patreon, or Serin or other platforms. I don't really want to monetize. Monetize my audios. For those of you who don't know, I was asked to be a creator on vanillaaudio.com, and that's a subscription website for VAs, and you can opt to have exclusive content posted there, or you submit them to be posted there, or they can be non-exclusive. So most of you who listen to my audios, those same audios are the ones that are posted on vanillaaudio.com. I haven't created any exclusive content for there yet. I appreciate the opportunity to be able or to be a creator there. But other than that, I think this is something that I can share. I got so much from the audio space during my first sort of few months of listening. And for me, it's partly a way of paying it back, paying it forward, however you want to think about it. But yeah, I don't really have any plans to monetize. Other than a subscription to vanillaaudio.com as a listener, to follow one particular VA, I haven't paid for. And look, if you do, fantastic, support those VAs out there having a go at it. And but for me, it's my motivation and reasoning for doing this is not about earning any sort of income from it. Next question from the 11th. As you keep growing in followers, do you think you'll have the time to keep replying to GWA comments? Look, I hope to. I really do genuinely hope to. What you do need to know is that I read it. I read everything. I read absolutely everything. And I'm not going to say I have replied to 100%, but I'm pretty sure I have, unless they've been, inappropriate comments or comments that I'm not comfortable responding to. But primarily, I think it's important to take that time, because you've taken the time to comment or message or chat. I think that's the least I can do to respond to that. But please know, if I haven't, there may be a reason, whether I missed it inadvertently or perhaps, it just wasn't something that I was comfortable answering or responding to. Okay. What is a single consequence of being a GWA performer that has the largest impact to your life? It's probably my own confidence as in myself and my ability to do this and do it to a level that I'm comfortable with it and I'm proud of it. It's been a fantastic ride so far. Okay, next question. Do you have experience performing in real life on stage or in studio? I have a performing arts background. However, having said that, I am terrified of performing on stage, ironically. So this suits me down to the ground. It's like The Voice, I guess, in a way, except the chairs don't turn around and you don't see me. I like this, the being able to sort of, I guess, hide or mask my identity, but still share my wants and my needs and my desires with you all. Is there any GWA tag that you want to use in future audios but are nervous or hesitant about, and why? I thought for a while about this one. Yeah, there are a couple. And I'm nervous because they're ones that, the one in particular, I'm not going to identify them, but yeah, there are a couple, and I guess I'm becoming a little more comfortable with the idea of listening to them and even possibly recording one in particular, perhaps not the other one. Yeah. Next question. Has your kink list changed as a consequence of listening, writing and performing audios? Yes, it has. So the whole... Sorry, I'm just a bit more comfortable in my bed. The whole gentle femdom and mummydom, like I mentioned at the beginning, they are areas of my own sexuality that I hadn't really explored or experienced, but I'm really, really enjoying both of them. So has my kink list changed? Yes. I didn't even know what a switch was prior to listening to audio, but I think I am. That's probably at the top of my kink list. So yeah, things have changed, and in a good way, I think. Would you perform live a sultry, classy and suitable for work generic voicemail message for this AMA's audience? Let's wait and see, hey? Next question. Have you done or would you do ASMR audios for relaxation or sleep aid? Look, it's something I'm keen to explore and look into, yeah, for sure. I'm not sure if my voice is suited to it. Possibly, I don't know. You may not be aware, but I just record into my phone and that's it. So in terms of equipment and hardware and, you know, editing and all of that, I haven't gone too deep into it. I probably will invest in a proper microphone fairly soon, but in terms of the ASMR, not sure if my voice is suited to it. Maybe you could let me know. But yeah, I have recorded a couple of comfort/sleep aid audios, and I really enjoy those because I love listening to those too. There are a couple of VAs in particular that I, when they do record a comfort or a sleep aid, I use them. I must tell you, I do use them. I listen to them quite regularly and sometimes on a loop. Yeah. Oh, the 11th, you have really outdone yourself with the questions and I appreciate them very much. Yeah, your next question. What is a thing that the random man on the street does that makes you weak in the knees? Now, there are a number of things. I'm just referring to my notes here. What question is that of yours? 18, good lord. Let me have a look here. Sorry, bear with me. Oh, did I write a response to that? Let me look here. Oh, no, I didn't. I didn't. Okay, oh, let's go. Is there something that a man on the street does? I don't know why, but a man walking a dog or a man pushing a pram with a baby in it, that kind of gets me. I don't know why it does it. Yeah, or a man helping someone or helping anyone, but I don't know, helping an older woman, I don't know, cross the street. I guess, look, chivalrous things that, you know, I probably shouldn't appreciate if I'm a true feminist. If I see a gentleman helping somebody, a stranger, that gets me a little, whew, I guess. Yeah, I or somebody, or a man being compassionate in some way, yeah, to someone else, again a stranger, yeah, that speaks volumes to me. Recently I had to catch a bus and I had luggage with me, and the bus driver got out of the bus, and look, I'm very more than capable of hauling my own luggage. I had two very large suitcases, and the bus driver, a male, got out of the bus, stopped the bus, got out of the bus, came around to the side and lifted up my second suitcase before I even knew that he was doing it. And that, I just really dig that, you know. Getting off the bus again, he stopped the bus, he helped me unload my suitcases. Yeah, that was, oh, yeah, I was very appreciative of that. Where are we? What is the single trait that you value above everything else in an SO or partner? That's a tough one, because that there are so many, but to narrow it down, I think it's for me, it's unconditional love. It's knowing that my partner, regardless of how I screw up, of, you know, regardless of what I do, that they will still love me and support me and be there for me. There are a lot of other things that, you know, I value. A sense of humour. Oh God, make me laugh and I'll take you to bed in a heartbeat. You got to laugh, right? yeah, obviously, sort of, you know, honesty and trust I'm really affectionate too, as a person. I love that. I need touch. I realise that I'm actually away at the moment, and it's been a couple of weeks, and I'm really missing that touch from, you know, my people. And I've realised that, yeah, I need that tactile interaction, and I need cuddles and, yeah, all that sort of thing, but, and obviously a lot more. But yeah, that unconditional love is what overrides everything, just that belief and that absolute, I know, regardless of what I do, I am loved by my partner or my SO. Okay, you can get inside a favourite book, film or series and be one of the characters. Which one do you become and why? I'm going to have to come back to that one, because I was still thinking about that, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to have to do this AMA in a couple of parts, but I'll make a note to come back to that one. Next question, do any of your closest family members or friends know about your audios? Yes, they do. And if yes, how did they learn about them and how did they react? I'm very open about the fact that I record erotic audio. I think it's not something to be ashamed of. I think it has a lot of benefit, particularly at this time when, you know, we're going through this pandemic and people are isolated and disconnected. I know I have, you know, at times felt disconnected and have found a lot of comfort in the audios that I've listened to. And whether it's, look, you might realise if you listen to a few of my audios, I very rarely say drop an L-bomb. I very rarely say I love you. Because partly for me, in it being 100% me, loving you as a listener is that it's a sacred thing to say. But I also understand that for other VAs, and I sorry, I'm not being very clear with my words, but I understand that other VAs who do say that and say it, you know, quite a lot, quite prolifically, that people need to hear it. I totally understand that people need to hear it. I would like to be able to say it to you, to the listener, more frequently. However, I really need, for me personally, and if I'm going to maintain my authenticity and the genuine nature of what I'm sharing, I really need to believe it and feel it before I say that. I have said it as part of scripts, but please know that there is absolute genuine care, and I will say I want to love on you. I want to share that part of myself with you as a listener. However, saying I, you know, that speaks to me personally, and everything I'm primarily sharing is quite personal. So, yeah, I don't even know where that came from. Would it get me into trouble? No, it doesn't. No, it wouldn't. Because I'm honest about it. If people are uncomfortable or have judgment about it, that fair enough, that's on them, yeah, not on me. What was the most weird or unusual thing that you ever did? Weird or unusual? Weird. I'm going to have to come back to that one too. I mean, I've done a few things that to some people are unusual, but to others are completely normal. So I don't think there's anything particularly weird. Okay, fun fact, I like to, I ride bikes. I cycle. Well, I used to, and I did an event where I rode 800 kilometres in 8 days. I want to say that's 500 miles off the top of my head. Could be wrong with that. Sorry for those of you who aren't metric. Some people might think that's unusual. It was for a charity. I didn't, at the time, I didn't think it was unusual. So, yeah. Is it weird? No, I don't think so. Another thing I've done, I hiked 100 kilometres in 30 hours non-stop. For a charity, for fundraising for something that was very dear to my heart. Whether you find that unusual or weird, well, I don't know, but I know it's not normal, I guess, in a way, not particularly normal. What was the most embarrassing moment of your life that I can share? It was probably, I don't even know what the most, look, one time I was driving a vehicle and I misread the height bar. It was in the middle of my city and I hit the height bar and I blocked a car park for and a major street in the middle of the CBD for a number of hours. It wasn't my vehicle. I was unaware of the height of it. I should have looked, but I didn't. But yeah, I thankfully had somebody come to my rescue, let air out of the tyres, and I was able to to back it out. But yeah, that was incredibly embarrassing, standing there in the middle of probably, yeah, the major street in the middle of my capital city. And yeah, directing traffic to go around whilst having no clue what to do. That was pretty embarrassing. What is one thing in your life that you did once as a trial, as a challenge or for fun, and that afterwards you decided never, ever, ever do it again? That was probably the time that I hiked that 100 kilometres in 30 hours. And you've got to know, this was over 5 mountain peaks. So it wasn't just flat terrain, but I only remember getting to about, maybe the 22nd hour, but we'd already been up for a number of hours to get to the event, you know, to prepare, get ready, get up, breakfast, all that sort of stuff, and get ready for the event. So we'd been going for close to 30 hours already, and we still had, I think maybe about 8 hours to go. And I got to a fairly ugly place where I just thought, I can't do this, I can't finish it. But I was leading a team, and I was determined. I'm fairly stubborn. But yeah, I felt like a little delirious at that time, but thought about the reason that I was there and doing it, and the charity that I was fundraising for. Part of it was honouring the soldiers of some Australian soldiers and one of the wars that Australia was involved in. And I thought, you know, these soldiers endured far, far, far worse than what I was at the moment. At that particular moment, and just thought, yeah, I'm going to do this. And I did. We did as a team. We crossed the line as a team, which was wonderful. One of the highlights of my life. But as a challenge, I would not do it again. I know my limitations. What single piece of advice would you give to yourself when you were 15 years or older? You are beautiful. You must know that you are beautiful, and it will get better. Believe me, it will get better. Thank you very much. This is the 11th. That was a wonderful set of questions from you. Thank you very much. Let me see how long I've been banging on, because, you know, I don't want you to get bored. Okay, all right, not too bad. Okay, actually, I might stop it there. 42 minutes, and we'll call this part one. And I'll come back for part two. Thanks for listening so far.